The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
Today, we're chatting with journalists who, in my mind, provide some of the best and most consistent coverage on the Downtown East Side. Jen St. Dennis is the Downtown East Side reporter at Tai, and her work is great. If you haven't checked her coverage out yet, after you listen to this interview, head over to thetai.ca. And today, Jen and I talk about homelessness. There has been a lot that has been happening on the topic since May, when the tent encampment at Oppenheimer was shut. I've lost track of the number of marathon city council meetings on the topic. Tiny homes, disaster relief shelters, RV parks. Today's conversation is for you. If you wanted a primer of what's been happening and when we're finally going to help folks get out of flooded, freezing tents into warm homes. A note that we recorded this conversation before the $51.5 million in federal funding for housing was announced. That funding may help provide housing for folks before Christmas. This is part one of our conversation. Listen in tomorrow for part two. Here's Jen. Jen St. Dennis, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jen, let's talk about homelessness because there has been so much going on, I can barely keep track.
Yeah, there has been a lot and a lot of city council decisions, and they're all kind of interwoven, but it has been a little bit hard to keep track of all of the different things that have been going on.
Maybe let's start with the question that lots of folks are probably thinking about, how much time they spend thinking about this issue, which is, when are we finally going to get folks into indoor spaces? Like, the October 24th election night was cold, and it doesn't seem like there's much immediate action happening.
Yeah, that was the sort of Vancouver's first cold snap, and the city had the warming centers open, which are sort of like community centers that they sometimes open. I was definitely thinking about it and thinking about how we don't really have any change that's going to happen in anytime soon. We're sort of in stasis for at least another few months. Even though there have been lots of decisions at City Hall in trying to deal with this homelessness crisis.
Maybe let's start with a bit of context. So looking at the number of people we're looking to house here who are sleeping outdoors, who are needing a place over their heads. So I'm seeing that the last count was, and this was pre-pandemic, I believe in March, there were about 2,000 folks experiencing homelessness. We know that counts like these kinds of surveys are under counts. So I think the number was 1,500 approximately in shelters and about 500 living outdoors. And then with the pandemic, with job loss and COVID-19, and given the undercount, I think city staff were expecting 750 odd folks.
Yeah, so that's what city staff are estimating. Just the people who need housing right now, and these are people experiencing street homelessness. So they're not in a shelter, not in temporary housing, but actually on the street. So 750 people. And yeah, it has gone up because of the COVID-19 restrictions that came into force in March. I don't think people really expected or planned for this kind of ripple effect that happened, but because a lot of the SRO buildings, the operators restricted visitors, and then there were also some drop-in spaces that closed or maybe didn't have as long of an hours, and that forced a lot of people into real, true homelessness, street homelessness, and so that's why we're seeing an increase in the numbers.
And on a side note here, I was surprised looking at the 2018 count, and I think Andrew Yen at SFU referenced this. He was talking about how 47% of the homeless population in BC, not just in Vancouver, but in BC at large, are employed to some degree, whether informally employed or whether they have formal employment or whether they own their own business. But I think that really was a good reminder that, folks on the street are many of them are actively making an income, many of them actively trying to make things work. And I think that's something that we need to remember. And sort of as journalists, too, I try and keep that frame.
Yeah, and just to keep in mind that people are homeless also because of what's happening in the housing market, that the housing market has become so financialized, so hard to get into, that and people have been pushed out of the housing market. And we really saw that in 2016 when we saw home prices rising a lot, rents rising a lot, and then we also saw homeless numbers rising a lot. So we really see that kind of ripple effect of that goes from the top of people being like, oh, I'm a middle class person who can't buy a place, to kind of mid, oh, I really can't afford my rent, to absolutely, I can't even find a place that will take me or that I can afford.
Maybe, Jen, this is a good time to start launching into some of I feel like a marathon city council meetings that have been happening. Where should we start?
Well, let's go further back. Let's talk about Oppenheimer Park, because I think that the city and the province have been wrestling with what to do with Oppenheimer Park for a couple of years. And, you know, Oppenheimer Park, of course, has had a tent city located on it for a couple of years. There had been some attempts to try to get people to move, to sort of like, you know, not force them to move, but to really try to get them out of Oppenheimer Park. It wasn't really successful. The tent city was still remained there. So this May, the provincial government used a public safety order to close down Oppenheimer Park. And they also hastily bought some hotels, and they did this in Victoria as well. They bought some hotels and motels to be able to move people into those spaces. And they really absolutely shut down Oppenheimer Park and put that blue metal fence around it that's still there. So that happened, but that didn't get rid of tent cities. And so then people moved down to Crab Park, to the parking lot near Crab Park. That was part of land, so the Port of Vancouver could immediately get a court injunction pretty easily and get people to move out of there. And then they've gone to Strathcona Park, and that's where the largest tent city has been located since July. And that's really been a lot of friction with the neighbors, a lot of concern about crime and disorder, you know, both within the camp and also it kind of spilling over into the neighborhood of Strathcona. So there's been a lot of pressure on city council to do something about that situation.
And I think that at last count, there was over 300 tents. Are we at the 400 tent mark yet? And some number of people in tent in the park.
Yeah, the city actually estimates that there's about 200 people actually living there, but it's sort of hard to know. Yeah, there are about 400 tents, but how many people are actually living there the full time? The city estimates 200, but it could be a little bit more.
Right. And just to go back to Oppenheimer and what happened there, I mean, so the provincial government tried to find housing for folks, and in its press releases, it talks about, in sort of government language, how wildly successful they were at finding housing for folks. I mean, but that's obviously not true, because we see a second and now the third iteration of the tent city. But they were, I mean, to the government's credit, they were somewhat successful. They did house a good number of people in hotels.
Yeah, that was a pretty remarkable achievement, I thought, to quickly go and buy those hotels. I mean, they've been criticized for the amount they spent on some of the properties. You know, they spent $55 million buying the Howard Johnson Hotel on Granville Street in Vancouver, which is quite a lot. And they paid that much because they had to buy them so quickly. But they did move as though they were in a crisis, which we were. We were in the COVID-19 pandemic. People living in the homeless in the tent cities could not, you know, do any of the recommendations that everybody else has been doing in terms of social distancing and all of that stuff to avoid getting COVID. So yeah, I think the provincial government should be given some kudos for that plan of moving people into those hotels and motels. But they did it so quickly, and then that kind of caused friction with the neighborhoods around there. And so there have been some, you know, some news stories about people being worried about, you know, what's happening even. But to me, it's like, well, you have people who are homeless and you need to house them, and then you house them, and then there are complaints. So how you deal with that whole situation, I think, has been interesting.
So now we're at Strathcona Park. We have the tents at Strathcona Park. And I want to address something that I've heard Councillor Pete Fry say. He talks about it being an activist camp, and he acknowledges, yes, there are homeless people who desperately need shelter of some kind, and they're finding some of that shelter at Strathcona Park. But he keeps talking about this notion of an activist camp. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting because we've had lots of homeless camps, lots of tent cities in the past. You know, we had one at Oppenheimer Park in 2014. But I think there has sort of been a modern era of tent cities that started in 2016 with the tent city at 58 West Hastings, this big empty lot right on West Hastings Street. And after they sort of, and that was all, it's always activists. Activists are always often from the Downtown Eastside community, are going in and they're creating, you know, they're sort of occupying the space deliberately. And usually they are trying to make a political point. And so we had three different homeless, or three different tent cities. So there was the one at 58 West Hastings, and then it moved to the 10-year tent city at 950 Main, and that one was there for a while, and then it moved to the Sugar Mountain site and sort of this industrial lot in East Vancouver, and then that one was moved out as well, and then it formed at Oppenheimer Park. And so we've kind of seen this continuum. So the activists being involved, yeah, they've always been involved in supporting those tent cities. I think that we are seeing a little bit of a different dynamic now with Oppenheimer Park and with Strathcona Park, in that those sites, unlike these vacant lots where they were going before, those sites are quite large. You can't control who goes in and out, and you can't control who lives there. So they do tend to become very large. And so the activists, I think, the camp organizers that are supporting them, I do think that they have a hard time sort of keeping them safe. I think that there is an ongoing problem with violence at those particular sites.
The criminal aspect, and I think this is something that even as I'm providing coverage on the encampment, it's something I find myself really struggling and really challenged to provide a balanced view of. If you can talk about how you do that. I mean, there's this sense that yes, there are, you know, advocates, activists at these camps and lobbying mm-hmm. for homes for folks, which is we all want homes for everyone. If we can put homes, you know, warm roofs over the heads of people. And at the same time, there's this sense of the criminal element, and people are rightfully concerned for their lives in some cases, but in, you know, the safety of the neighborhood, for the safety of their kids. And there is just like such an, it's such a struggling, it's such a balancing act. And I think it's harder, it becomes even harder for folks when the word activist is used, because it often has a negative connotation to it. What do you make of this quandary here?
Well, when it comes to crime, I do think that we kind of have to look at it head on and really say, okay, where is the crime coming from? And we know it's always coming from the illicit drug market. And it's the same in the Downtown East Side. There's a horrible violence that happens to people. And so it's a similar dynamic where a lot of it is, things about collecting drug debt and just really awful things happening to people around that. And no one should ever be in that situation where they're living in a community where just violence is commonplace and it happens all the time. And yet we do have these problems in our city, and it is sort of magnified right now, I think, at Strathcona Park. Like that is a common dynamic. And I think we have to look at that head on and ask, you know, is that what we want and why? And we do have to acknowledge that there are these really, you know, deep-seated problems with poverty, with the drug market being an illegal drug market and being controlled by criminal elements. And that's kind of the base of the problem. Now, when it comes to just that being in your neighborhood, and, you know, Strathcona is that, it's a neighborhood that's beside the Downtown East Side. So it's kind of that in between space where there are lots of families who live there, lots of young families. And it is, you know, it's a mix of people who live in social housing. It's a mix of people who are homeowners and renters. And it is understandable that it's very alarming to have that kind of thing kind of become more common in your neighborhood. And so I do really understand, you know, both sides. And you kind of hear these two different things from the residents of the tent city. You kind of hear these two different thing portrayals. You hear some people saying that it's this wonderful refuge where they find community. And then from other people you hear, well, the fighting and pepper spraying and all these different things is just constant, and it is not safe. So you hear both of those things.
What do you think, Jen? Is this a good time to talk about all the decisions that have been happening at the council level?
Yeah, sure. Because I think that what the politicians are dealing with is really these two kind of forces of the neighborhoods that are really worried about this being present in their neighborhood, but then also the acknowledgement that homelessness is just this, you know, horrible problem in our city that we just cannot seem to get a handle on, and that it is sort of starting to seem like our tent city is always going to be with us, and how do we deal with them? So yeah, City Council has been dealing with this. They had a big decision on October 8th or so, where they decided to spend $30 million to kind of do what the province did in buying the hotels and motels. The city wants to buy or lease hotels and motels, SRO buildings, maybe apartment buildings, with the idea to quickly house people. And there are a few properties like the 2400 Motel on Kingsway that the city already owns, and the Jericho Beach Hostel, which the park board kind of controls. Which, of course, I think is empty because it's not being used right now because of COVID's impact on tourism. So those are two properties that they might be able to use right away, but it's not really clear when they'd be freed up. And then when it comes to securing the hotel and motel units, it's not really clear. I think that would still take a few months probably to get those deals in place. So even though that was a really, you know, that was a really big decision, $30 million, and it was heralded as, you know, part of the solution and a really important decision, I think there's still just a question about when exactly that's going to change, you know, change things for people who live in places like Strathcona Park and also other people who are homeless across the city.
And I think it's important to note too that that motion and that decision to that $30 million plan was part of, came after that city staff report when city council had asked staff to report back on these five options.
Yeah.
And I, as I look at those options and as I look at the motions and the decisions that have been made since then, I guess, I mean, this is not a novel thought at all, but there really is no perfect solution. I mean, this, you know, even this $30 million plan to purchase, lease hotel space or apartment space or empty building space, I mean, city staff like had pretty strong opinions about that in their report too.
Yeah, and there were some other options that they looked at that they haven't really decided to go with, but that were interesting, that staff, that the city has never looked at before. So one of them was having like a sanctioned, like almost like disaster relief camp that they would set up. And there were actually people who lived in Strathcona who were really interested in that idea because it would be an immediate thing that would happen. And some people said that they would even be fine with that being located in Strathcona Park, but as long as it was sort of had some control, you know, some people supporting it and controls on with things like security. So that was interesting. Other options included like maybe
and before we go to the other options, I just back to the Kenny Stewart's, well, he made the motion, but it's not entirely his plan, even though he seems to like to say it's entirely his plan. But the $30 million decision to buy, purchase, acquire apartment, hotel space, I think it's important to note that $30 million is to just acquire the space. It doesn't necessarily cover operational costs. And city staff made a very strong note in their report that we're not, as a city, able to fund the operational costs of that. Mm-hmm. And that is contingent. Or what was the wording?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Oh, and that whole thing was about that, you know, then Mayor Kennedy Stewart's has this great confidence that he's going to be able to go to the province and to the federal government to kind of get those operating funds. But the plan is really contingent on getting cooperation from the federal government and provincial government to kind of help with some of that funding. And they really are expecting that to come through. So there was some questioning, like in the council meeting, Councillor Colleen Hardwick was questioning that. For instance, she was like, are you sure that's going to happen? And what happens if it doesn't? And Kennedy Stewart saying like, I'm sure. And you know, we know that the federal government has been more interested in housing, so has the provincial government. So it's probably, you know, pretty good guess that they will help. But yeah, that is something that the city is kind of hoping will happen.
And so we may or may not get senior governments to fund this $30 million plan, or well, to fund the $30 million plan, that will come out of Vancouver's budget, but to provide supporting funds that are important to make this work. Okay, so let's just leave that aside for now. And I think the other bit that I just wanted to talk to you about was that Councillor Rebecca Bly successfully got that motion amended, and I believe it's something about using a portion of that $30 million fund to fund those temporary disaster relief shelters that you were talking about. And I thought that was an interesting thing that just got wedged in there. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the city is kind of up against a wall now where they might have to look at some sort of sanctioned tent city, or, you know, some sort of, like, yes, this is these tent cities are always around. They're becoming more and more common. And what maybe there is an interim solution. The other interesting idea that we've been kind of exploring at the TAI has been, could we have some sort of tiny home villages set up that would be like kind of the next best thing to a tent, but people would be able to lock the door behind them. So that's another thing that council has done. There was another motion on that idea. And that the city is committing to sort of do some sort of a pilot project, maybe sometime in the future, but probably not very soon. So I think that the city is just really being forced to, they've always wanted to do the housing first idea. And they've always really emphasized that we want to get people like inside into hopefully like a self-contained unit that has a kitchen and a bathroom of its own. Like that's kind of the gold standard. But I think that the COVID has come along and boosted the homeless numbers, and it's kind of pushed the city to try to do some of these like options that it hasn't really looked at seriously before.
And I get the sense that at least at the city staff or maybe in the bureaucracy end, the city doesn't really want to look into it. Because when I was looking at the city staff report and I was looking, let's just go back to the temporary disaster relief shelter option that Councillor Rebecca Bly put out. In its report back, I believe city staff said, well, it's surveyed, I think it was something like over 80 people, which is, 80 people is not the entirety of the homelessness population.
It's pretty small. It's a pretty small survey.
I don't know if that's even statistically significant, but having said that, I believe there was 55% of the people they did survey say they had fairly large concerns with the safety of encampments. And the second point that city staff brought up is that these kinds of temporary relief shelters, Rebecca Bly in that October 8 decision stated that she would to be indoors. I mean, city staff did make a point that these kinds of measures rarely stay temporary, that they're intended to be temporary, but often become permanent. But having said that, maybe that's just preferable to having folks, have their tents flooded by the rain and, freeze when we get a cold snap.
I think that's the thing that I keep getting hung up on when city staff, I know city staff would prefer to house everybody, and that is better. Like, there's no question. But what I always keep coming back to is people are living in tents now. I was there the other day and I saw somebody like drying their mattress over a campfire because it was wet. And I'm just like, the misery that's there right now. I just think there has to be a better way. And so I think that's where we're seeing some of these ideas come up.
I think it's interesting to see the councillors really push these ideas, sort of in opposition to city staff. And I don't want to get into the weeds of whatever is going on in city council, but I think it's interesting to note that that is what is happening here.
Yeah, and I think that we saw that too with the tiny home village idea. So there was a whole separate motion and a whole separate discussion about that. And there definitely was pushback from the city staff, and councillors really had to push and kind of be like, no, we actually do want to do this idea. So I think we're going to have to watch that. I think that city staff do have legitimate concerns about, if we allow like really poor housing to be built and it ends up being permanent, like that could be awful, and we have kind of seen that. We've seen that with the SRO buildings being this really poor form of housing, and yet it's sort of, they just always persist. So I do think there are valid concerns there, but we're getting to this point where I think we need to maybe just try some of these other solutions as well. So we'll have to watch how it plays out.
Maybe let's just have just a little more small discussion on this topic, because I'm curious why that opposition that I think I'm seeing is just like, it's interesting to me, because council, maybe it's explained by this, that council is really feeling the pressure from their constituents to get a move on, and city staff being the folks that actually have to carry out the work.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have seen city staff burdened by a lot of work that council, like in general, even before this, that councillors have kind of saddled with them, because this council does not have a clear majority. They're kind of a few different groups that sometimes vote with each other and sometimes don't. So they tend to kind of want to have their own agendas and definitely pile up staff with doing a lot of reports and that kind of thing. So So I do think you see this wariness from staff, and kind of maybe staff want to just keep going by the playbook of, in the winter we open emergency shelters, we keep trying to get funding for housing, try to make the sustainable model, but we're in the situation now where it's a crisis. And so is that going to be enough?
And that was part one of our conversation with Jen St. Denis, Downtown Eastside reporter at The Tie. She gave us a primer on what has been happening with homelessness in this city since the pandemic. Stay tuned for tomorrow's part two. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO, your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. Please tell us what you think of the show. I'm very curious. I'm at macy@coopradio.org. That's meixi@coopradio.org. Ciao. Take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.